There are four things that make you good in poker, and there are four things that make you good as an entrepreneurship. One is reading other people. Another is being very comfortable taking risks and spending a lot of money, getting comfortable stepping into areas where you're not so comfortable. And the fourth one is patience. But I will tell you, you need all four to be good at poker, and you need all four to be good in business. And what you see at the table, men are much more likely to go all in. Women hold on to the last fake chip. And you see it in every industry. There are exceptions. I'm not saying it's 100%, but it's 80. And that's a very interesting dynamic. And also patience. Women tend to have more patience and will hold out for better cards, which sometimes is a good strategy and sometimes isn't. And men, not as likely. But the nice thing is you learn from each other by seeing that. And that's the feedback we get.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. Today, we have a very exciting guest with us. And I'm going to drop a hint by asking you a question. What does playing poker have to do with entrepreneurship? When you leave the corporate world, the stakes are high, my friend. You have no guarantee of your success, and you may be feeling a little bit of pressure with the risk that's ahead of you. So today, you will meet Ellen Lakin. Ellen is a trailblazing entrepreneur, former corporate leader. She's an author and the brains behind Poker Divas and The Bold System of Negotiation. Ellen combines her passion for poker with her extensive background as a Fortune 500 executive to teach professionals how to play their cards right in business and life. Her journey began as a marketing executive where she launched over $1 billion in new products before founding Poker Divas. And we're going to dive into how Poker Divas can help you. She is also the author of Poker Woman, How to Win at Love, Life, and Business Using the Principles of Poker, which was just re-released in an updated edition, is available on Amazon. We'll make sure you get a link to that in the show notes. So my friend Ellen, it's been a long time coming. I've known of you. We just talked before we hit record. I've known of you for like 7 or 8 years. Welcome to Life After Corporate.
Thank you, Deb. Good to be with you and finally to connect with you. It has been a while.
It has been a while, and a sister New Yorker, no less.
Absolutely.
And dog lover. So we're in good company. So Ellen, let's dive right in. You started Poker Divas after you left corporate. What was that motivation? Where did this idea come from? And what was that transition like for you?
Well, it's interesting because I started Poker Divas initially as a passion project while I was still working. It was an idea that came to my head while I was working because I saw women were being excluded from poker much like they were from golf. And it wasn't just the game. It was the strategies that you learn playing, understanding people, and also it was the connections you were able to make. And I took a career hiatus. I left corporate America. I said, I want to do something else. And during this hiatus is when I founded Poker Divas. And it was a hobby. It was just something that I came up with one day after going to a charity event and walking into a room and seeing 90 men and 5 women. I said, this isn't going to work. So I went home that weekend. I put together a snail mail back then. And I said, I'm going to start a company, Poker for Professional Women. And I did that on the side for many years. And then about 5 years ago, a product that I was working on was sold. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do Poker Divas full time. So it was a transition from, I was fortunate to be able to do this, to go from corporate to working for an entrepreneur to being an entrepreneur.
Beautiful. And yeah. Tell us about your early days as an entrepreneur. What did you have to pull from in your poker diva experience that was really helpful in applying it to your early stages in your entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, Deb, was mixing up your game, so to speak, based on the people you're playing with. You're playing with a very different group of people as an entrepreneur than you are as in a Fortune 500 company. So, you know, for example, you know, a very long-winded PowerPoint presentation was seen as the holy grail in a corporation and praised, and everybody loved it, and it was wonderful. It was researched to death. And when you do that for an entrepreneur or as an entrepreneur, it's like, this isn't going to work. I have about a tenth of the time to get it done, make it right, and go. You don't have the luxury of an entrepreneur of researching everything to death to make sure it's perfect. You have to get up and just go. And if you fall, you just go in another direction. And that was one of the biggest changes for me. So understanding people and understanding the need to just make your own decisions and make them quickly and not have to wait. You know, poker is important. This is a skill you pick up for poker too. You have to make decisions with imperfect information.
Tell us more. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, sure. So when you're playing cards, all right, when you're playing Texas Hold'em in particular, do you play?
I don't. So what's Texas Hold'em? Aside from it's mentioned in Beyonce's latest song.
So when you're playing Texas Hold'em, you're going to get two cards and everybody else is going to get two cards, and then there are going to be five cards that come out that belong to everybody. When you have to decide whether you're going to bet or you're going to fold or you're going to just call and continue, you don't have perfect information because people could be bluffing. You don't know what anybody else has at the time. You're only seeing your own two cards. So you really have to say, okay, based on the circumstances, based on the nonverbal cues people are giving, based on their betting strategy, based on what I know about from watching them in prior hands, based on the two cards I have in my hand, what can I do? Now, that's not perfect information. That's half of the story. And you have to say, okay, I have enough to make a decision, whether I'm going to play in a hand or whether I'm going to continue on a project on an entrepreneurial level. It's the same challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's fun, though. It's a lot of fun because you're betting on yourself that you're going to make the right decision. And betting on yourself is another key component of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, before we go there, let's talk about the imperfect information, right? So entrepreneurship is about observation. Yeah. It's about noticing patterns and about registering things that you see over and over again or things that you've heard over and over again. And you start to put those pieces together to start to make a little bit of a more informed decision, still not perfect information. So what's happening around a poker table that you're observing, that you're taking in, that's helping to inform that decision, even though it's not perfect information?
Well, you're watching people, you're looking at their betting patterns. Some people are very aggressive bettors and play every hand, so it's hard to read them. Some people play very few hands because they don't like a lot of risk, so that's one thing that you're looking at. You're looking at nonverbal cues to see if somebody reaching for their chips before it's even their turn. Much harder to do, obviously, virtually. Is somebody who's been talking incessantly the whole night all of a sudden very quiet? They have a hand. So you're reading that. And you're also, to your point about entrepreneurship, you're reading past behavior patterns. You know, how do they normally play their hand?
Okay.
Can you pick up an expression? Do they have a poker face or not? You know, poker face can be a real thing. It can be deceptive too. You can intentionally put on a poker face contrary to what is actually going on. But all of those things, and being very, very cognizant of paying attention to others, because in poker, if you only pay attention to you, you will lose.
And if you only pay attention to you in entrepreneurship, you will lose.
Yes.
Because it's all about spotting the patterns. And yeah, the analogy breaks down after that, but it's all about spotting the patterns. So let's talk about poker face for a minute.
Okay.
Like, what is a poker face, and how does a poker face apply to women entrepreneurs who are going through this transition and may not be feeling 100% confident in their direction or even what they're offering or even what they're messaging? How does a poker face in the game of poker apply to entrepreneurship?
Well, poker face it's interesting because a poker face can be a flat, and you know, everyone thinks of a poker face as like a very serious face, right? Just staring into space. I tell people who say, I don't have a poker face, which a lot of entrepreneurs say to me, I say, find a spot at the wall, stare at it, don't drink anything, don't fiddle with your hands, just sit perfectly still, get comfortable in that mode. And then you can go from there so you don't look like a bit of a freak with that your poker face. But you have to be selective in when you're putting on your poker face. Obviously, if you're negotiating, you need a good poker face. But you don't want a poker face if you're trying to get a new client or you're interviewing somebody or you're doing media, obviously. So you want to be selective on your poker face. Now, there's another kind of poker face that a lot of people don't talk about, and that's a smile. There's some people, their poker face is a smile. They smile if they like you. They smile if they can't stand you. They smile if they agree with you. They smile if they don't. So you have to also know not every poker face is the same. And another thing that I learned, and it's interesting, it took me a while to figure this out, and happened again last night in an event we did. Sometimes you overread it. Sometimes somebody will be sitting there totally blank, and I'm like, they're not engaged. They don't like this. And they'll come up after, and they go, that was the best thing I've ever seen. So,
oh my God, I know. Yeah. And that happens to speakers all the time, right? So you see, and you're fixated on that one person in the audience that's not smiling, not engaging, and you're thinking, oh my God, this is horrible. She hates this, or I'm horrible. And they come up afterwards like, oh my God, you really touched me. That was amazing.
Yeah. So it's not 100% foolproof, but it's important also, you know, for an entrepreneur, especially if you mentioned women that are nervous being entrepreneurs. If you have a good poker face, you can seem more confident, even if you don't feel it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's okay if you don't feel confident. A lot of people don't feel confident. You can fake it. You fake it until it's fact.
Yeah. You fake it until it's fact. You fake it until it's fact. And I think that's so important when you're, you know, everything about entrepreneurship is stepping outside of the known into the unknown. And the unknown is uncomfortable. And same thing with poker. You don't know what is in everybody else's hand. So it's walking into a big unknown. So let's talk about some of the things that we were brainstorming about before we hit record. You mentioned mixing up your game. Right. So we talked a little bit about, you know, going from corporate to entrepreneur, understanding. So tell us about understanding different personality types and why that's important.
Yeah. So everything's about people. Mm-hmm. You know, our personal lives, our professional lives, it all comes down to different people. And understanding people's personalities and people's motivations are critical components. So we talk a lot at our events. We have four personality types, which are really focused on what is your attitude towards risk? Not necessarily your action, because sometimes attitude and action don't match. But what is your attitude towards risk? So you are selectively aggressive. Are you recklessly aggressive? Or you take a wait and see approach, or are you totally risk averse? I mean, that's important to understand where people fall on that range, because you're going to talk to them different. If you have a very selectively aggressive person, they're really motivated by facts and numbers. If you have an ultra-aggressive person, it's more of an emotional thing. It's not only about money, it's about your mind. It's a mind game for them. So that's going to be a different connection. If you're working with somebody who's risk-averse or sort of takes a wait-and-see attitude, that is also going to influence the way you act. And motivation is another thing. What are people's motivations? I'm going to give you a personal example. When I was in corporate America, I'm a risk taker. I like to be out of the box. So if I was in corporate America and I worked for somebody who wanted to rule the world and change things up, they loved having me on their team. If I wanted to work for somebody who wanted to maintain the status quo, they couldn't wait to get rid of me. So here I am doing the same exact job. One person thinks I'm a star. One person doesn't want me. So that's understanding the motivations of other people and it either adapting. And this is a big thing. You either adapt to it comfortably, or you say, you know what, this isn't for me. This is the wrong table. I'm at the wrong table. And you move. And that can be, if you're an entrepreneur, that can be maybe you're serving the wrong audience. Maybe you've got the wrong message. Maybe you don't have the client base that is a good fit for you. Maybe you have to get rid of a client. You know, so those are all the things that help you from playing poker and understanding people when you are an entrepreneur or in any business.
Yeah. And really think about risk, because if you're severely risk averse, entrepreneurship isn't going to be for you.
That's right.
I mean, you have to get comfortable with risk and uncertainty in order to play in this game. And you have to be able to bet on yourself and your own skills that, you know, whatever you don't know, you can acquire or hire, right?
Yeah, I like that. Acquire or hire. That's exactly right. And you know what? No, but if you don't like risk, you're not sitting at a poker table for the most part. You're just not. So in that, just like if you don't like risk, you're not going to be an entrepreneur. So it there's a similarity there too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you talk about sitting at the right table, what does that mean with respect to poker, you know, and what is the right table? What's a wrong table? How do you shift if you're in the wrong place?
Well, you know, there's many different kinds of poker. There's cash versus tournament. There's limit versus no limit. I could spend hours telling you about those. I won't. But I will say to you, if you are a risk-averse person, you're not going to play no limit Texas Hold'em, because at any given moment, you can go all in with your chips. So it's a game of very big highs and very big lows. You're much likely, more likely to be a limit player. You know the high and the low. So understanding which table you fit at will determine what game you play. Same thing. Are you playing in a tournament which can last hours and days? Or are you playing in a cash game where you can come and go as you like? So if you like to grind it out, you're a tournament player. And if you like to come in and out, you're a cash player. So that's how you figure out what kind of table you're sitting at poker. What are the stakes? Do you want to play, you know, a $5 limit, or do you want to play in a $10,000 limit game? Those are the way you pick your tables. Now, from a professional standpoint, you know, especially from people, a lot of people going from corporate to entrepreneurship, and I see a lot of these in some of these groups that I'm in, a lot of corporate people want to be entrepreneurs, but, you know, finding the right table really means finding the right people in most cases. And from a professional standpoint, I talk in my book, there was a woman, I think her name was Deborah, and she had been conditioned her entire life to be a dentist, right? Her whole family, they were all dentists. And, she, you know, that's all she talked about when she was growing up. She was going to be a dentist. And she hated being a dentist. And so she finally said, it's okay. I'm walking away from this table that I was supposed to sit at for the rest of my life. And she became a veterinarian because that's what she loved. She loved animals mm-hmm. and she loved medicine. And that was a better fit for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way you assess what table you want to start at and what table you want to stay at and what table you want to go to.
Yeah. And in entrepreneurship, you know, where you start is rarely where you end up, you know? So, you know, I think the most important thing is to start. And, you know, your analogy of the high stakes versus low stakes and how fast the game goes is kind of like, what kind of business model are you in? Do you want something that has some degree of safety and predictability, and, you know, is kind of more kind of in the middle where you can navigate the middle? Or are you really into it for bigger stakes? You know, you're into what? It to create a bigger enterprise and maybe exit profitably at some point in the future. So some of the thought process. So how do you evaluate whether or not you're at the right table? You know, how do you know? Is that a feeling? Is it in the results that you're getting?
Well, I think it's a lot of things. I think certainly it's the results you're getting, but it's also the enjoyment factor, the satisfaction factor. You know, is this the right place for you? Is it aligned with your goals? It is aligned with your values. It is aligned with how you want to spend your time. You know, you quickly know at a poker table if you're at the wrong table. You know, it's either...
How can you tell?
So if the stakes are too high and you have to fold every hand because you're afraid to play because it's just too much money in the pot, you get out of that table. If you're losing every single hand, you're going to walk away from that table. Even though poker in theory is 70% skill and 30% luck. So over time, skill, the cream rises to the top. But you will see at any given moment, you will go through periods where you don't get a single hand. All right. So you get up and go. You know, that's more of a short-term fix. But if you're not at a table where you're also growth, are you getting better at this table? You know, sometimes it's okay to play with people that are better than you at a poker table because you're learning.
Yeah.
So that's the same in business. If you're in an entrepreneurial capacity and you're just sort of stuck and you're not growing, find another table or edit the table you're at, so to speak.
Yeah. So let's talk about your business, because I am so curious as to how you have grown Poker Divas, because it's been, 17, 18 years now?
Yeah.
So where are you now compared to where you started? And what were some of those lessons that you learned along the way?
Well, one of the biggest differences is when I started Poker Divas, it was women only.
That's
and funny. it was very focused on women and team building. That was the focus of Poker Divas. And an interesting thing happened. I worked with a lot of law firms, and I didn't really talk about negotiation. We talked about communication and leadership, because that was the focus initially.
Okay.
And these attorneys would come up to me after and say, this is the best negotiation course I've ever been to. I never talked about negotiation. So over time, we started focusing more on negotiation. We developed a CLE program, which is a continuing education on negotiation. And we also now include everybody, men, women, anybody who wants to attend can attend. Because, you know, poker actually, believe it or not, although it is a boys club, much like a lot of industries, it is a boys club. in the reality is it is a equal opportunity sport because anybody can sit at the table if they so want to. And you start with the same chip stack. You start with the same deck of cards, and everybody has the same plans to play, to strategize, and win. It's just women have not typically felt comfortable and have not been invited to that arena. So we've mixed it up because the feeling was that if you want to be inclusive, you really have to include everybody. And it's best, it actually is a very big learning exercise. Men learn a lot about women and vice versa. So that's one of the biggest changes that we made. And the other is the scope of our events. The scope of our events have become much broader, much bigger, larger audiences. And we also offer individuals an opportunity to continue on with negotiation with the Bold System Negotiation Program, which we launched.
Tell us more about that. Tell us about the Bold System of Negotiation. I'm curious about a bunch of things. Number one is the difference between men and women. So originally, it was all women. And so did women behave differently when it was all women versus when it was women and men at the table? And what were some of the big lessons learned there? And then let's definitely talk about the Bold System of Negotiation.
Sure. Okay, so here's the deal. There are four things that make you good in poker, and there are four things that make you good as an entrepreneurship, okay? And one is reading other people. Another is being very comfortable taking risks and spending a lot of money, getting comfortable stepping into areas where you're not so comfortable. And the fourth one is patience. One gender is very good at two, and the other gender is very good at the other two. You decide who's who. But I will tell you, you need all four to be good at poker, and you need all four to be good in business. And what you see at the table is there is a definite gender disparity. And I don't want to be crucified for saying this, but this is just observation.
Mm-hmm.
So on the very last hand, when we do an event, on the very last hand, because we don't go through a whole poker tournament, right? We do a modified tournament. If you are short stack, meaning you don't have a lot of chips, there's only one way you have any opportunity to win. That's to go all in on that very last hand. Because if you don't go all in, you have zero chance of winning. If you do, you at least are in the game. It's not, you're a long shot, but you're in the game. And typically, men are much more likely to go all in. Women hold on to the last fake chip.
Wow.
And you see it in every industry. There are exceptions. I'm not saying it's 100%, but it's 80. Yeah. And that's a very interesting dynamic. And also patience. Women tend to have more patience and will hold out for better cards, which sometimes is a good strategy and sometimes isn't. And men not as likely. But the nice thing is you learn from each other by seeing that. And that's the feedback we get. The feedback, you know what? I have better insight into being more patient. I have better insight now. I'm more taking a risk. So it really works both ways. There's a little bit of a different dynamic in the room when it's mixed. There is a little bit of a different dynamic because typically women don't know how to play, or at least they say they don't know how to play. Mm-hmm. And men are more likely to know how to play and also more likely to say they do know how to play when they don't. That's right. And that goes back to that science. You know, there's a study that women won't apply for a job unless they have 100% of the skills, and men will apply if they have 50. So something like that. And that shows up at the poker table.
And also, you know, you mentioned earlier on too, playing to win versus playing not to lose.
Yeah.
And I would think that based on what you've just said, it's the men who are playing to win and the women who are playing not to lose. Is that true? Or
I would say a lot of the times it is.
A lot of the times it is.
Yep.
Let's talk about that on playing not to lose, because here's what happens. And we did talk about people women in particular, dipping their toe into the pool of entrepreneurship and then either not having patience or, you know, playing not to lose are two of the reasons why they would go back and get a job, because it feels uncomfortable with the uncertainty and the level of risk. And you also mentioned investment, right? So investing money, it costs money to start a business. You can't be so risk averse. Sometimes I talk to women, they're like, well, you know, I want to spend money until I make money. And frequently that's a really difficult position to be in, because you're kind of scraping to find those initial deals, those initial clients, and you need to really invest more in amplifying your image, your brand, your marketing, bringing someone onto your team so you're not doing all the admin stuff and making your own Canva graphics. So what are some of the things that you teach in this bold method of negotiation that help women get more comfortable with investing and taking more risk?
Well, the Bold System Negotiation Program is negotiating for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, when we do a Poker Divas event, we can't teach people how to negotiate against their companies. So it's generally how to negotiate in general. This is, the Bold System is designed to negotiate for yourself, and it's predicated about understanding people, building relationships, organizing a plan, being able to comfortably, confidently, or at least pretend to be confident about what you bring to the party and knowing when to get out. Those are the four components, because sometimes you got to fold, so to speak. You know, Kenny Rogers was a genius. So we talk about one of the key components is organizing what your strengths are and being very specific. And we recommend three nuggets. You come up with your three top nuggets of what you bring that nobody else brings. And that really comes into everything that you do. You know, if you're trying to put together a proposal and you're concerned about pricing, you go back to it and you say, you know, this is what I bring. This is what's unique. I can charge X. Mm-hmm. So that's a key component, being very crystal clear on what you're bringing to the table that no one else is. And it sounds so basic, but mm-hmm. it's not. And saying it out loud is very different than keeping it in your head. Writing it down and saying it out loud, very different components. And also trash talking. You know, trash talking in poker is when you're sitting and playing a game, you're deciding what to do, and somebody says, oh, come on, play with me. You know, I got nothing. Let's just play it out. Or, you know, the other way around, you better fold. I'm going to beat you. It's trash talk. You're negotiating with somebody. You're doing really, really well. And in the middle, they insert, oh, you know, my daughter got a goal at soccer yesterday. Isn't that great? They don't care that you know that their daughter got a gold soccer. They're throwing you off your game. They're trash talking you, and they want to put you on what's known as tilt. Tilt is when someone's trying to mess with your head, all right? You're doing everything well in negotiation. Boom, they want to get you off track. So walking in and knowing, okay, I'm not going to let them throw me off. What you're going to do if, in fact, somebody does try to throw you off, and being so focused and specific and clear on your strategy that they can throw you off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things in entrepreneurship, in a negotiation that can throw you off is, well, we're talking to other people, right? So that one line can just shake your confidence, and, you know, then you're starting to scramble because you don't know who you're competing against. You don't, well, you know, I'm always surprised, right? So I have this feeling like I'm the best business advisor and mentor you could hire. So what do you mean you're talking to somebody else? But how do you handle that? Like, let's talk really practically about someone says, well, we have some more calls we're going to do. We'll get back to you.
Well, what you just said is perfect. I mean, knowing that you are the best and that you can give the max, I mean, that's part A. That's the biggest part of it. So of course that's going to throw anybody off, but follow up obviously is key. You know, just continue to let these people know what you bring to the table, so to speak. And I want to speak to that point in a little bit of a different way. When someone says, we're talking to other people, there's another component that I got very caught up in when I was first an entrepreneur, and that was when there's silence. So I would present something to somebody and they go, well, how much does it cost? And I would tell them a number, and there would be like a pause, even if it was a brief pause. But and before there was even a chance for anybody to say anything, I would say, but if that's an issue, don't worry, we'll work it out. So I was negotiating against myself.
That's right.
And I didn't realize that at the beginning. That was a lesson learned. And we talk about that, you know, get comfortable with quiet and get comfortable if somebody says you were talking to other people. And then you can reiterate what you bring to the party. And not, listen, you know, Deb, not everyone's for everybody. Not everybody's a right fit client for
That's
you.
That's right.
And you're not a right fit for everybody either. So if they're talking to other people, you know, it may have absolutely nothing to do with your services as an entrepreneur, but it's just somewhere it's a better fit.
Yeah. And I think, you know, getting really good at the questioning up front so we know what the motivators are for the people that we're dealing with, you know, what does a good decision look like to you, and a bunch of other questions we won't go into here today. But what are some of the things that some of the other things or stories that you could share about what some of the women around the poker table have learned, or some of the realizations about themselves and how that has transform just how they're showing up in their job or how they're showing up as an entrepreneur or in their life, because these are life skills, not just business skills.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny. Last night we were at Lincoln Center with some women, and we give out cards at the end. Someone wrote, she goes, "This really brought out the leadership qualities I knew I had inside."
Ooh.
And you know where that comes from? Yeah, that was amazing. I'd love to hear that's the transformation. And so quickly, you know, it's a realization. But I think that it is important to, you know, when you sit down and play a game you've never played before, where you were never invited to the table,
mm-hmm.
and you never thought you'd be at that table, and you do it, there's a confidence that just appears. It can be temporary, it can be long-standing, but it definitely happens. And that's true with anything. Anytime you do something, when you make your first presentation, when you get up in front of your first, you know, 1,000 people and speak, whatever it is, it builds your confidence. And that's what happens when they sit down and they get invited to a place they're not used to being invited to. That's a key component.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the permission of getting into the winning mindset. Here's an interesting thing also that happened last night. We do an exercise with the cards that demonstrates, are you playing to win or are you just maintaining the status quo, not losing? And when we do the exercise, we have people make certain hands with the cards. And one of the women said to me, and this is not the first time they've said it, it's been said, "Should I make the best hand?" Well, I ask you. And that's what I said to her. I said, "What? I ask you, should you make the best hand?" And it was like a light bulb for her, you know, because we get so accustomed to just crossing it off the list and getting it done. Mm-hmm. And being involved, you know, we call this being a loose player. A loose player is involved in every hand. They want to play every hand a little bit. If you do everything a little bit in entrepreneurship, you're going to have a little bit of nothing. You know, you sort of got to pick your one or two. And this is being a selective risk taker versus an all over the place, a reckless risk taker. Pick one or two things and focus there and go and build from that. Because if you get involved in everything, you'll do everything at a 5 and you will never excel at it.
That is such a key point, mic drop moment, because, you know, most women entrepreneurs, you know, they'll see something over here. Oh, I should do that, or I should try that strategy, or let me go and do this. And it's a little bit of a lot and a lot of nothing, because it's like, you know, try something, go all in. And this is where self-esteem and self-worth come into play. There's a difference between confidence that comes from competence. Like, oh, I've learned how to play this game, I'm now good at playing this game, versus self-worth and, you know, what you're going to allow yourself to do, right? So I'm not going to allow myself to play full out because I don't believe I'm capable of that inside, or I don't believe I'm worthy of success. So that, do I play my best hand, says to me, you know, that there's a worthiness issue there as well. Am I worth getting the best? You know, should I just go for the best?
Yeah.
And so I think society, because of the culture that we've grown up in, you know, it's only a couple of few decades that women can even get a mortgage and get a bank account and all of those things.
Wow.
That undervaluing ourselves in life and business, and certainly in poker, is a losing hand.
It is a losing hand. And one of the components for the BOLD system negotiation course is there's 8 things that you need to go in thinking versus 8 things you should not. And, you know, one of the key things is, you know, we tend to say, think the other person's actually much better than they are. You know, they're a better negotiator than I am. They're a better speaker than I am. And that's not necessarily the case. Even if they're more experienced, even if they get paid more, it's you have to go in thinking you are the best, you are good. Because mindset, you know, poker, we talk about this at the event, poker is, you know, the cards are not, it's good to get good cards, but it's very much a mindset game. You know, a lot of it is mindset, like anything else that we do. And if you go in thinking everyone's better than me, it may be the case, but if you go in thinking that, it's surely you're not winning. That's
right,
for sure. Because also people pick up on that and they exploit it.
What are some of the, give us, you know, 2 or 3 of those mindset hacks that you need to come into the game with?
All right. The first one being is everybody wants me here, right? Everybody wants me here. Another one would be, I have more than is needed to do whatever the task at hand is. I am worthy and deserving of the price that I am charging. You know, those kinds of things, as opposed to walking in and saying, they're a better negotiator. People aren't going to like me because I'm too expensive. They're going to think I'm greedy. You know, that happens a lot with women. I know many very talented, smart women who get an offer and do not negotiate it. And I ask them, why don't you negotiate? And they go, it's okay. It's good enough. I don't want to create waves. That's right. Not a winning mindset. That's a not playing not to lose mindset.
Or coming up with the prices for the proposal with the intent of giving a discount. So I'm going to price it here and then I'm going to discount it to there, you know, as opposed to stating the price and confidently standing behind the value and that's the price.
Yes. Yeah. Although with certain people, I've known a few people that they negotiation is a sport for them. You know, for men, negotiation can be a sport. Women, it's more of a chore. Not all. I always caveat, there's exceptions, but overall. And there's, if you know, like there's one person I know in particular, a guy that he's never going to pay the price ever. So I go in and I make a higher price because I know it's coming down. You know, so okay. knowing the players, that's what I talked about. We talked about at the beginning, knowing the players can make you think differently about your proposal. If there's somebody that always negotiates you, you have to go in higher. You have to leave room. But that's the value of understanding and paying attention to other people. That gives you the leg up.
Such a great conversation, Ellen. And of course, I'm thinking, how can we put together an event in New York City? My wheels are turning. I've got some ideas. So I'll reach out to you privately on that. Everyone, if you've enjoyed this conversation, please go grab Poker Woman. It is on Amazon. It's newly revised. Ellen is an amazing entrepreneur who really carved out a niche in something that women were not playing in and has transformed thousands of lives of women and men in business and helping us be better negotiators, being able to read the room, and being able to walk away and change the table. So thank you so much for this conversation, Ellen.
Thank you, Deb. Great to see you. And I look forward to seeing you at the table soon.
Yes, I'm getting a seat at that table. I'm so excited. I'm ready now. I was a little bit intimidated at first. And I was like, well, okay, let's do this. So my friends, that's it for this episode of Life After Corporate. If you haven't, go grab the episode with Chris Voss on negotiation as well. This is a great companion to this conversation with Ellen Lakend. It's so great to have you here. Thank you, Ellen. And that's it. We'll see you next time, my friends.
Thanks, Deb.
Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.